Yeah, so I mentioned it. I didn't know you could throw 96. Like, that's what I saw on the radar gun in that first game back after you came off the IL. Did you know you were capable of that? Obviously, I guess.
I've hit that before, but it's been a while. You know, I think that was just a good mixture of, hey, unfortunately I had to deal with that, you know, that lat strain. So we really focused on some, you know, obviously lat specific muscles and arm and shoulder muscles and maybe a little bit of rest, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it was a good surprise too, that I knew it was there, but it's not been there for a while. So you know, the fact that it came out was really good to see. You know, I tell guys too, and I really do believe this. I'm saying this, you know, to be funny, but it's also true. I'm like a fine wine. You know, I get better with age.
I look at it just like the movie Rookie of the Year could have been an actual documentary. That's a real thing now. You know, you can hurt your arm, come back, you throw 100.
Oh, yeah.
This is a classic movie. It's like, you know what? That is good. That's what Matt Shoemaker did. He hurt his arm, came back, and he was Rookie of the Year, basically. He's throwing 96. Everyone should hurt their arm. You get fast. You add speed.
Yeah.
No, man.
It was so incredible. How's the offseason going, man?
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, I'm home with the kids. You know, my oldest is in kindergarten, so I'm getting to take him to school and pick him up, which is kind of cool. Just doing the family thing, you know, getting to relax and unwind a little bit. You know, obviously, really wish we were still playing, you know, through the end of the month, but you know, like I said, get the off season going a little early.
Yeah, I gotta imagine though, it's weird for all of us, right? It's a pandemic, but it wasn't as though you guys were really down before the season started, because everything's happening with Major League Baseball and there's negotiations about coming back to play and it gets so contentious and everybody's hearing about whether or not you guys are going to have a season and the money and what the owners said versus what you guys are wanting. And it's like just contentious, contentious, contentious. Then you guys get into this regular season that's shortened. It's no fans. You're learning rules on the fly. You guys don't know exactly where you're going to be living. It's very strange. You have a good year. You get into the playoffs. You come back from the injury. Like, now you're entering free agency, but does it actually feel like you're having some time to decompress? Like, is this the first time really since the pandemic where you feel as though it has been a little bit of downtime?
Oh, without question. Like you said, all the stuff that you said, I mean, you completely nailed it. All the stuff that we had to go through, obviously as baseball players, as the team, but more specifically what our team had to go through, you know, being the Toronto Blue Jays, because we had to go through stuff that no other team in the big leagues had to deal with. You know, being, you know, going to Toronto, think we're going to play there. And then, you know, Toronto saying, nope, you guys can't, or Canada saying, nope, you guys can't play here. You guys got to go somewhere else. And then in turn going from, what was it? It was Pittsburgh. Then they said no. And Baltimore, then they said no. You know, then we finally got to Buffalo. And, you know, and the Blue Jays did a really good job of making that feel like home. But, and even in spring training 2.0, us having to be in the mandatory bubble, you know, at the Rogers Center. Like, no other team had to do that for their spring training 2.0. So just kind of all the little adversities we had to face as a team to, you know, get rolling, get the ball rolling, get playing. I'm just so proud of the team to do what we did, having to face all those adversities. You know, it was great to see. But, yeah, like you said, man, just being home now, actually getting some time to unwind, you know, just so amazing going into free agency. But at the same time, it's like, oh, you know, the timing of a bunch of us players hitting free agency after a COVID year, you know, it's a little weird, but like I said, it'll take care of itself. You know, just go out there and just keep focusing on what we can focus on and control what we can control.
Right. You know, we've talked to a lot of guys about how that not knowing impacted everybody right in the moment. But one thing that I've never really asked anyone is how, because, like, you said it. You guys did make it your own thing. You made Buffalo your own advantage. That was very clear with the team's record there. But the group did seem pretty tight. How much of that do you think actually factored in by being sequestered in a bubble in Toronto? Like, how did you notice, like, a real shift in the group, just the way that you guys got along with one another, having to go through that, and, yeah, basically being locked in a stadium together for some period of time?
Yeah, you know, I think that definitely that relationship type status, whatever you want to call it, started forming. And it's cool, too, because we show up in February in Dunedin, and, you know, you got a bunch of similar faces, a bunch of new faces, and you kind of just see how the clubhouse, you know, just kind of like melds together, which is really cool to see. And it begins there. But like you said, just going through, hey, spring training 2.0, we're all in this in this mandatory bubble. So it was cool to have guys. So we had the Blue Jays, like I said, did a great job of making that. It was already home because, you know, it's the Rogers Center. But we couldn't leave the hotel, couldn't step outside the door. So they did a really good job of giving us all access to, you know, we had, whether it's a conference center or, you know, some of the, they're like the suites in the stadium, just to give guys a place to go, you know, go play ping pong, go watch TV, you know, go sit around in like a lounge type area and hang out with the guys. Did a really good job of that. And you could see those, the relationship in the team, you know, coming together. But yeah, I think you really noticed it in Buffalo too, because, you know, it's funny because, like, we all said it. We had kind of some team meetings and we're like, listen, we know we're now going to Buffalo. We thought we were going to be in Toronto. We thought we were going to be in Pittsburgh. We thought we were then going to be in Baltimore. All big league stadiums. Then we find out, hey, our only option at this point is Buffalo, or potentially it was play on the road all season, but that was a lot of travel, obviously. But we're like, listen, we're going to Buffalo. Everyone embrace it. Don't complain. We're in the big leagues. We shouldn't be playing in a minor league stadium, but it is what it is. And everybody at that, from that point on, embraced it. And I think that really made it clear. It's like, hey, we're going to go out here. We're playing baseball. That's our focus. Let's play together as a team in one unit. And I think, you know, like I said, that really happened and thrived. You know, obviously we wish we did better. But like I said, once again, just so happy how we did it as a group, having to face the things we had to face as a team.
Yeah, no, and a couple of those guys, the offensive players, obviously felt comfortable there, you know, used their reservoir of memories, hitting bombs like Rowdy Tellez. He seemed to really enjoy playing in Buffalo. Yeah, obviously some positive memories for him there. Yeah, talking to Matt Shoemaker. So, yeah, the season ends disappointingly. You lose to, I think, the best team in baseball and the World Series favorites. I don't think that's really going out on a limb because the Rays are up 3-0 in the American League Championship Series. They look amazing. I don't know what kind of a baseball consumer you are. Are you watching the playoffs right now? Are you a guy that you want the team that you lost to win it all? So you feel like, yeah, man, okay, we lost, but we lost to the best team and we can be there next year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess that's always a decent way to take it with a grain of salt, you know, if the team that beat you wins it, you know, but at the same time, I'm not really, I guess, focused on that. But, yeah, so I'm not watching every out, but I'm watching a very decent amount of it, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, just once you get home and having kids, it's definitely different. So it's cool when, you know, one day my little man will, oh, Dad, let's watch a baseball game. Great, let's. The next day, oh, I want to go outside and play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely watching some of it, keeping my eye on it. Like you said, man, and that's a lot of things about playoff baseball too. Is obviously there's really good teams, and it's teams who get hot. You know, and you get to kind of see it play out.
So full disclosure, I thought that they should have put Ryu game one. Like, we did this whole segment about, like, hey, you got to put your best foot forward. This is what they got him for, and that this is an overthink and blah, blah, blah. And you had the good splits, and you had the good record against the Rays. And, yeah, it turns out that the organization was smart with that one. Like, okay, go with Shoemaker game one. The biggest concern, though, for us was not, like, your abilities. It was more, like, how deep you were going to go in the ball game. But then you're just you're spinning it, man. Sure. And you're dominating. And then you're out of the game. And here's the thing. We reacted the same way you reacted, okay?
Like, or at least we saw, like, you react.
You're the way you were reacting was like, I don't know if you even have Twitter. I don't know if you looked at it afterwards. I don't know, you know, if you had your phone blow up and the text messages, what they were in the moment. But, like, me and my friends watching the game together, we looked exactly like you. Like, if you would have put Charlie Montoya in front of us, it would have been just a nuclear meltdown, and there would have been words exchanged that were just not kind. And, yeah, man, you looked – like, I just want to know what happened from your perspective, because we look at it like it was one of two things, that either they had a game plan and you thought that you could change their minds, or they didn't share the game plan directly with you and you learned that on the fly. Like, what happened, man?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the good thing was, listen, like Charlie and Pete, we knew the game plan going in. I knew the game plan going in, which was great to know, right? So when that happened, it wasn't a surprise. Even though, and I'll explain. So, you know, several days before before that game, we were talking like, hey, shoot, you know, you got game one, and obviously that fired me up. I absolutely love that. You know, I love it. So he's like, you know, so it's going to be you and Robbie splitting the game. Said, great. Okay, let's do it. Like, whatever you guys are thinking, whatever the game plan is, whatever, you know, the righty-lefty matchups, whatever the plan is, great, let's do it. Let's go out there and split the game. Like, yeah, we're going to do a ruin game two, give him an extra day's rest. It's like, great, let's do it. So I knew going in, I knew the plan going in. It was me and Robbie were splitting the game. Like I said, the only thing I didn't know, like, nobody knew if it was going to be, you know, 2 innings, 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings. That didn't matter because, right, we're just going with the flow of the game, you know, see how it goes. So just given how it was going, I was just in the moment surprised, like, really? Right now? Like, not one more inning? You know, in my head, I was like, oh, maybe one more inning, maybe two more innings. Good, let's just keep it going. But the plan was, you know, for them to split it. And I think after it was, hey, maybe Shue go 3-4, maybe Robbie go 3-4, which we both went 3, and then have, you know, the guys in the bullpen, you know, take those last two or three innings. So,
yeah. And Robbie was great too, despite allowing that first run.
When you saw the bases loaded, admit it. Like, you had a murder fantasy about one person. Like, who did you have a murder fantasy about?
Oh man, it wasn't one person, man. It was, like I said, three innings, 30 pitches. Like, and that's why I told guys, and I don't want anybody like having like those post game interviews, you know, getting upset at me or whatever. Which it is what it is. But it's like, man, it's just playoff baseball. Of course, like, I don't want anybody to want to come out of the game, right? Like, I want, if somebody wants to come out of the game, I don't want you to be my teammate. Like, I want you to be in there all the time. And that's just the competitiveness, right? You're in there, you're feeling good. Like, I felt like, you know, I kept getting better as the innings went on. So it was just me being fired up, like, hey, man, I'm competitive. Like, screw this. Like, let's go. Let's stay in there. And let's go attack these guys. But like I said, but with that being said, I knew the game plan going in. I just didn't know necessarily it might be the third inning. But I knew it was going to be me and Robbie splitting the game.
Yeah, you knew what we knew.
All that. Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, usually you would think a guy rolling like you were, throwing gas like you were, that you would just keep going with that. But, no, we have to defer to the charts at all times. The fact that you didn't know specifically when you'd be coming out, do you like that? Is that a disadvantage? Because I would think it would be an advantage if you're a pitcher. Like I said, you can throw 96, apparently. So if you know that you're only going to be out there for a couple innings, three innings, that you're going to air it out a little bit differently than you would if you're trying to maximize yourself for... Because in that Yankees game, what, you threw 60-some-odd pitches, so we thought that was at least the minimum you could go, that maybe you could have gotten to 70, 80 in that start. Would you have... As a pitcher, and maybe we shouldn't just talk specifically about that game, in general, do you want to know exactly how long your leash is so that you can adjust your effort level accordingly?
You know, I think that's a very, you know, you can take that kind of twofold. And the reason I say that is because I feel like in that moment, and Pete talked to me about it, you know, Pete's great, I love him. Like, and even after the game, we talked about it. He's like, yeah, he's like, I didn't want to tell you, I forget the exact words I said, but like, hey, like, in that moment, hey, you and Robbie are splitting the first playoff game. You have X amount of pitches or X amount of innings. Like, I'm kind of glad I didn't know, because I feel like whether your effort level will change or your focus will change, I just wanted to focus on every single pitch. Like, one pitch at a time was my whole focus. So I feel like if I knew, it was like, hey, maybe no matter what, it's going to be, you know, this batter in the lineup is the last one. Or after the third inning, no matter what, that's it. I would have wanted to know, because like I said, I wouldn't want my focus to shift, strictly because I don't want my mental state to shift to, oh man, I only got two more batters, or oh man, I only got to go, you know, through the third inning, so I got to do this and this up to that point. I just like going out there and just focusing on one pitch at a time. And then you said, like you said, kind of more vague of just throughout the course of a season, what do you want to know? That's where, like, this whole analytic thing gets really fishy, you know, and that's just, you know, that's what this is all about. But most people assume it's like, hey, I got, which is a semi-made-up number, but I got 90 to 100 pitches, right? Like, that's kind of the average limit. Sometimes it seems as though people want to do, like, fifth inning is the limit, depending on the team or the team you're facing or the lineup you're facing. So if it's supposed to be a shortened start, I really don't think I would want to know, because I don't want to be like, oh hey man, I got 20 more pitches. Let's go out there and see if I can get two or three innings in with 20 pitches, because then I think your focus shifts, and then your pitches are going to come out differently, because they might come out a little bit hotter, but you might be trying to press too much to get, you know, quick outs or guys out in three pitches right away, and then maybe you miss a little bit and it's a ball, and then you pitch deep. You know what I mean? So, not really being through it before. That's what I think the perception of it is for me.
Yeah, dude, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, again, all you hear about with pro athletes and a lot of pitchers is just routine, 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 and not getting the guys out of their routine.
Dude, so routine the idea that someone's so important.
But that's what I mean. So the idea that your manager or your pitching coach is going to come up to you before the game and be like, "Hey, here's the thing. We're totally messing with your routine. You're only getting 30 pitches." Yeah. You're like, yeah, okay. Now that's I'm thinking about every pitch.
I'm right.
Yep. Like, oh, there's 10% of my pitches.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't know that. But the thing I am glad about is that, like I said, I didn't know. I guess in my head I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll have four innings. Thinking of a split game, it's like, okay, maybe just thinking, right? Maybe I'll go four. Maybe Robbie goes four. Maybe Dolis is in there for the ninth and we win the game. Obviously, that'd be great if that happens. So you got to see how the game plays out. But I am definitely. It was awesome to know going into it that it was me and him splitting the game. Because if I didn't know that, then that would have been, like, really shocking, right? So I knew that going in, and that's why it's all good. Like, that was already the game plan, and, you know, and it just, you know, they didn't want to shift from it, so.
Right. So we – and everybody understood that, right? Because they were like, okay, this makes sense for the matchup. And the second part was, again, that – you were still working your arm back up. Like, you were still building back your arm strength, and you had just come off the injury. So it was like, okay, they're splitting the game. That all makes sense. But this is something that – and we're not asking you to crap on the Jays here, because, like, this is what every team does now, right? We're watching the playoffs, and it's just – okay, I'll just say it the way that I feel about it. It's kind of annoying, man. The fact that there just seems to be no real managerial decisions anymore, that we call it like just the charts, trying to guess what the charts do. Oh, what does the chart say today? Oh, that's the rule of baseball now. And whenever it doesn't work, nobody seems to care. But like, there's this feel to the game that seems to be gone, where, you know, Matt Shoemaker is dealing that way. He's got 30 pitches. He's completely shutting down the Rays. But then some guy puts some numbers into a machine and prints them out and is like, 9 times out of 10, this is better. And then it just saps from the game. And how do you feel about it in the moment? Because, like, yeah, dude, I got to tell you, as a fan of the sport, we hate it. Like, we really hate it.
It sounds like you know everything that's going on. This is amazing.
The chart.
You've seen the machine. You know the machine.
Have you seen the machine? Have you seen the machine?
Everyone sees it, right? Like, it's unfortunate, you know, and like you said, I know you're saying it jokingly, and I'll laugh. Like, I will never crap on the Jays just because I love the team and I love the organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. Like, I got to play with them for two, you know, odd shortened years. So maybe hopefully in the future I have a chance to play with them if they want me. But no, yeah, like I the team and organization, man, it's top notch. I love this place. But yeah, like you said, let's go back to the charts now. So you saying chart is in the which is the same as, like, you know, the whole analytics now, right?
Yeah.
And you said the word I think a lot of players use. It's like, man, like, there's no more feel in baseball, right? Like, games are every game every day every game is different, right? So it's just kind of it's just tough from our standpoint to see that part of it. Because, like, one day there is feel, and then the next day it might be all analytics. Or some teams it's analytics 162 games. You know, in somewhere, some belief is that, and I'm not going to crap on analytics because to some extent, analytics are helpful to some extent.
Sure.
They're definitely helpful.
We agree.
They can't take over 100%.
No.
And seeing where guys are still maybe able to manage, and it's not going off a chart or an analytic that says, beep, 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 this is the lineup today, and this is what's going to happen, and no matter what, this is set in place. Where you can't take feel and maybe make an in-game adjustment, you know, where this guy it says this guy should pitch it, but this guy's already loose and warm, and this is where the feel comes in. Like, I don't think I'm not gonna be wrong about this because I'm not in the analytics, like, whatever, like the computers or whatever they use. But it's like if it's a righty lefty matchup, right, and the hitter, the analytics say this hitter is not gonna he'll go 0-for-10 off this pitcher, but in reality, is that hitter has faced that pitcher multiple times, either coming up through the minors or even in the big leagues, and he feels comfortable, and it's a comfortable at bat for the hitter. That is feel. That is then where that guy should stay in versus a pinch hitter who's completely cold coming in. And I shouldn't even be talking about hitting because I'm a pitcher. I'm just talking about what my teammates have, you know, expressed when we've had these conversations. It's like, yeah, like, pitch hitting's hard, right? You come in cold. Hopefully you're loose, but you come in cold. And it might, the matchup might say it's good, but the guy who's already in there on the field is super loose and warm. And mentally, he's super comfortable against this pitcher. Like, if you can get a hitter uncomfortable, I absolutely love that as a pitcher, because if they're uncomfortable, it's a much tougher at-bat for them, right? And that's, and this is just one aspect. This isn't even, like, we can go off on probably 100 different topics, and this is just one of where, man, let's just go out and play baseball, right? But like I said, take it with a grain of salt, because, yes, some analytics are good and helpful. It's just interesting to see, you know, kind of the attempt of a complete analytic takeover, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's great to know that that's what the machine, the noise the machine makes. It makes a beep, boop, boop, beep noise. Yeah, because we always assume that.
And it's like, so, do I get another inning? It's like, no, you never do. Journeyman reliever time. Journeyman reliever time.
So we got a run, Matt, but I do want to ask you. So, I mean, you've come back from some incredible injury hard luck, right? And everybody in this market knows all of your injury history, and you've done incredibly well when you've been healthy, and especially in that game one against the Rays. But you're a free agent again. You're 34. What are you looking for? What are your thoughts going into free agency? Have you had any preliminary talks with the Jays? Yeah, I know you want money. That goes without saying. But what are your thoughts going into free agency?
You know, I first and foremost, just being realistic, right? You just want to hope at least one team wants you. You know, right? That's the starting point.
Sure,
obviously, then from there on, obviously, the more teams that want you, it's that's great. You know, but really, I've been fortunate to be with the Angels and the Blue Jays, the only two teams I've been with, and both of them have been like very just good organizations, right? Like where it's like you go in, it's a good fit. Obviously, I want a good fit. I want to go, and I think this is true across the board. Every team is like this. I just want to go to a team that's just hungry, right? And the Jays are hungry, man. Like, we got this old, really young team who are just love the game, fiery players, really talented. And just being a part of this team the last 2 years, just seeing the capability and where it can go, just stuff like that, right? I mean, I'm a pretty easy guy, right? So it's like I want to go to a team that's a good fit. To me, honestly, location doesn't matter, and I'll explain why. Is because I love this game so much. Like, I started playing when I was super young, and I just got this love for this game that will never go away. And, you know, like I said, dealing with some freak injuries is unfortunate, but thankfully, when I say thankfully, it's better than being more baseball pitching specific, is the fact that most of my injuries have been like super freak injuries, right? So hopefully, you know, people don't hold that against me in free agency. You know, being like hit in the head, I got an ACL, you know, just stuff like that that is very abnormal in baseball. But like I said, man, I just want to go out there and play this game. I want, you know, pretty simple. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Man, so I know you said location doesn't matter, and yeah, you do love it here. Here being Toronto, and I guess here being Buffalo, but how much does the border play a factor into things? Because it's got to be some, man. Like, the idea that you could be not up here, the idea that it could be back in Buffalo, the idea that it could be harder to get, you know, your family here, quarantine stuff with the country. Like, how much of that is going to impact the decision? Because that's a very real thing now here with Canada, and not knowing, you know, where we're going to be at with the pandemic come next baseball season.
Yeah, you know, and that's great that you said that, because, like, all that I just said about this topic was I didn't even have COVID as a thought in my mind, right?
Yeah.
So as, you know, the offseason gets going, you know, November, December, January get going, like, that's when free agency stuff, you know, starts happening for the most part. All that I just said about that, like, I was like, I don't even think about COVID in my mind, right, where it's just like, oh, yeah, we're just playing baseball, living life. So obviously if COVID is still a factor, you're right, man, that could play a huge aspect in anybody coming to Toronto, and hopefully it doesn't, because I think in general, before this season, right, everybody knows they love going to Toronto when you play them on the road, right? It's like you got 3 or 4-game series. Toronto's a beautiful city, fun to play at. Rogers Center's great. The fans are great. So people know going to Toronto is a blast. But I think it's semi-tough for people to go to Toronto over picking a different team in a regular season, because I think people are a little intimidated to go over the border. Not everyone, to some extent. Like I said, I'm here in Michigan, so I'm just like you guys. I'm practically already live in Canada. I grew up here, and we go to Windsor all the time for dinner or do whatever, right? So right. It's normal to me. But I think just the fact of the mental side of, oh, I got to go to a different country. Like, is that going to be different? Like, what kind of, like, are the, somebody said this to me before a long time ago, where they said, oh, are the outlets different? Like, do I need to bring different chargers? Like, just all the little things that's like, that don't matter, but people think they matter. Going over to a different country. So I think just there's a little bit of, maybe it's a tough pull to get some people to come over to a new country. But then once people get there, they're like, holy cow, this is the best. Like, Toronto is sick. The team is sick. Like, this is amazing, right? So it's just people just need to know that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The COVID stuff, man, like, I've not even thought about that. It's like, hey, if hopefully they do. Like, if Toronto wants you and they want to sign you to a deal, oh, but hey, the government still says you guys got to play in a bubble. Maybe you're the only team because it's Canada and your family can't come. That would be a really big discussion. Yeah, like, I didn't even think of that, to be completely honest, until you said it.
Yep. No, but who knows what the world looks like in a couple of months, right? But yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah. Hopefully it all goes away, and who knows? We'll see. Nobody knows.
Yep. Well, Matt, again, congrats on the great season, the great finish to the season as well. Best of luck in free agency. Thanks so much for doing this. This is great.
Yeah, man, we hope you're back.
Yeah, you guys are great, man. Appreciate you having me.